Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 9th, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Science is not just for scientists. Science is for everyone. These men felt that very strongly.
It's possible that fructose directly goes to the pancreas and has effects on insulin secretion that we didn't know.
A microprocessor inside the device decides when to open each reservoir sequentially to give sequential doses of the drug.
This week, what we can learn from people with a rare mutation that protects them from cancer and diabetes, and how the pancreas tastes sugar. Also, a new implantable microchip delivers an osteoporosis drug. But first, Suzanne Bard says chimpanzees may yawn for the same reasons humans do.
Have you ever wondered why you feel like yawning when you see a friend doing it? According to primatologist Franz de Waal of Emory University, this may actually be a sign of empathy. He says studies have shown that more empathetic people are also more prone to yawn contagiously. What's more, there's now evidence that yawning may relate to empathy in chimpanzees as well. He and Michael Campbell recently showed chimpanzees videos of other chimps yawning. They were much more likely to yawn, too, if the chimp in the video was part of their own group rather than another group. De Waal explains.
Empathy is very in-group biased. It's an in-group phenomenon.
De Waal says both chimps and humans are more likely to feel empathy for friends and strangers. What's more, people who are less empathetic, due to autism, for example, may not mimic yawning at all.
Thanks, Suzanne. Taste receptors have been found not only on the tongue, but in the gut and brain as well. But it's those on the pancreas that interest diabetes and obesity researcher Bjorn Tierberg of the Sanford Burnham Institute in Florida. He and his colleagues found that the sugar fructose found in corn sweeteners binds to the pancreas and boosts insulin secretion. The effect amplifies that of glucose, the main sugar in biological processes.
It's possible that fructose directly goes to the pancreas and has effects on insulin secretion that we didn't know.
Further research could determine whether corn sweeteners like high fructose corn syrup play a special role in diabetes and obesity. It could also lead to new drugs that could treat or prevent those conditions.
This type of receptor is typically a very good candidate for drug manipulation.
Next, a rare immunity to disease can tell scientists a lot about how to prevent it in the general population. Suzanne reports on what they're learning from short-statured people who don't get cancer or diabetes.
A rare genetic mutation that makes people very short also protects them from cancer and diabetes. This according to University of Southern California gerontologist Walter Longo. He and his colleagues studied a group of Ecuadorians with this mutation, which makes them deficient in a growth factor called IGF-1. That limits their stature, but has side effects that protect cells from damage. And when their cells do get damaged, they self-destruct more quickly than usual.
If you have very low levels, as these individuals do, then as soon as you're pushed in this damaged direction, then the cell dies.
That short-circuits the growth of tumors. Previous studies in yeast and mice support the findings. Longo says it probably wouldn't be good to lower IGF-1 to these levels in other people, but it's possible that a mild reduction could have more benefits than drawbacks.
Thanks, Suzanne. One of the biggest reasons medicines fail is that patients don't take them regularly, and that's true of daily injections as well as pills. Reporter Justin Warner tells us how an implantable microchip could dispense these medications without any help from the patient.
In the future, a microchip in your body could dispense certain drugs one dose at a time. MIT material scientist Michael Sima and his colleagues tried it with a drug for severe osteoporosis, which is normally injected every day for a year or more. In Sima's study, volunteers were implanted with a single chip dotted with tiny reservoirs.
Each one is covered by a metal membrane, and inside is an individual dose of the drug. And so a microprocessor inside the device decides when to open each reservoir sequentially to give sequential doses of the drug.
He says several fail-safes prevent missed doses and overdoses. Seema's team found that the drugs worked at least as well from the chip as from a needle, even though the body naturally forms a membrane around the chip over time.
We implanted a device and we waited a full 8 weeks, which is the typical time it takes to form this fibrous capsule, and then we started releasing the drug.
He says the chip could be used to deliver other drugs as well, but only highly potent ones that come in tiny doses.
Thanks, Justin. Medical research is just one modern example of science conducted for the benefit of society. But the concept of science for the public good has been around since at least the 17th century, according to intellectual historian Laura Snyder of St. John's University. She says science pioneer Francis Bacon first championed the idea, which was later revived by a group of scientists in 19th century England.
Science is not just for scientists. Science is for everyone. These men felt that very strongly.
For example, they tried to find universal laws of the tides.
Because at that time, information about high tides really was kept secret by harbor masters, and captains of ships needed to know this information in order to be able to safely dock their ships in port.
So they asked the public to send in tidal observations from 9 different countries, creating a high tide map of most of the coastal regions of the world. This made the oceans safer for everyone.
I think the take-home message is that if you promote the idea of science for the public good, the public sees that science is good.
Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll have more fascinating stories from the world of science for you. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.